Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has so much to say to us. He always has. And some people are finding out, like I did, and many others, that the Lord is talking to his people. The Lord our God is an active God. He loves us. Now, he only responds if we involve him in our lives, then he's involved. If we don't involve God in our lives, he wants to be involved. Somebody has to pray for us, or we have to pray for ourselves. We have to ask, knock, and seek. Seek, knock, and ask. And learn from him. Jesus said, learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He loves us. And through Christ, the Father can be involved with our lives. Jesus Christ connects us to God, period. Now, people will say they have their opinions. They say all kind of things. The college professors, they brainwash our children when they go to brainwash, try to brainwash us when we go to college. I'm picking on the college professors because a lot of them do that. Satan wants his people to be the most influential people in the world. And people that once knew God, if he can turn them, they can be some of the worst people in the world. Because they knew better and did wrong anyway, just like Satan did. Satan was an angel. We're not fighting. What we're fighting, imagine a man thousands of years old with much knowledge. In computer science, in medical knowledge, in physics, in all forms of science. And then he's evil. That's what we're fighting. That's just a bleak picture of what Satan is like. He was once an angel. He knew things. He knew God. But he turned. See, the problem with sin is it compounds. It starts out with leaven, a temptation, a simple act of wrong, like eating fruit off a forbidden tree. All right, in chapter 3, the Lord told Adam and Eve, don't eat off the tree. All right, a thousand years later, man is thinking of nothing but evil. You know, it starts out small, but it gets worse over time. Now understand something. Satan's been a fallen angel a long time. And his evil is compound. It's an evil you can't comprehend. This is why the world is so messed up. In Isaiah chapter 14, they're going to look at him in hell. When he finally gets there, all the people and all the kingdoms and all the people that went there because of him, they're going to narrowly look on him and say, is this the man that caused all this trouble? They're gonna be focused on. Now they're burning. They mad. They frustrated. They can't get out. Their life is over with. They'll never enjoy time, and they'll burn forever, just like him. And they'll narrowly look at him. Is this the man that caused all this trouble? Well, see, people don't understand how sin works. You know, when God made Adam, he lived to be 930 years. That's a long time to us. But because of the process of sin, God had to cut our time short. It's a blessing that we only live around 100 years old. We live 10% of what Adam lived. And the Lord had to do that in order to keep from judging the world prematurely. Can you imagine a man like Hitler living 200 years? He made a mess in 50 years. In 60 years, he made a terrible mess. He didn't do it by himself, but he did it. And he seduced the whole country through witchcraft. See, if you're not focused on the Lord, evil will consume you. Jesus didn't just come to save us so we can live with the Father. He came and destroyed sin in our lives. We have to want it out of our lives. If we enter back into it, we become something we really didn't want to be. We start out just trying to have a good time at somebody else's expense, and it snowballs. So, I just gave you that. Just, you know, the Lord loves us. He wants you to understand. And the only way to kill sin is, the only way to deal with sin is burn it up. Why did God choose hell to deal with sin? I used to wonder that. That's the best way to deal with it. Burn it up. And remember something, though. People say, well, when you're dead, you're dead. No, you're made in the image of God. The image and likeness of God. You will never die. Once you're born, once you're conceived, whether you're born or not, once you're conceived, you will always live. People who have children that die prematurely, or they died before, in birth, or they died in the womb, they are alive. If you go to heaven, you'll see them. Many people have kinfolks in heaven and don't know it. Siblings and children. Even people who went out of their relationship, out of their marriage, and had children with somebody else, and then miscarried. And they may not even realize, but that child is still alive in heaven. Because we're made in the image and likeness of God. You cannot die. The body will, but the spirit cannot die. It can forever be punished or forever be blessed. That's up to you. You got to receive what Jesus did for us. And people say, well, what Jesus did didn't work. All right, well, why in the world, and literally in the world, people are having a relationship with God? Now, other religions, God don't deal with them because they didn't come through Christ. They tried to go around Jesus. If you do that, you don't know God. And God, he can't be active in your life unless somebody pray for you to help you come out of darkness. And people can pray for you. If I see an accident happen, I can rebuke it, and people can be spared. Angels get involved. That's why they do. See, angels back up our prayers. We're not just praying to the wind. We're praying to God, and he is in control of armies of angels. It's sad that people have ignored these facts that are in black and white for us, and sometimes red and white, because Jesus' words are spoken in red. Jesus told us the truth, folks. He told us right. He didn't do us wrong. He came and did something about your sin. No other religion did anything about your sin. They just give you throw a bunch of rules at you that you can't keep anyway. When God gave man the law, he couldn't keep the law. The law was to prove to man that he needed a savior. A sinful man can't keep the law. And even a Christian, we have the ability to fulfill the law if we walk in the love of God. Jesus broke our sin nature. It's up to us to stay out of trouble. And we do that. Now, the easy way, people try to, they focus on not sinning. And we're going to talk about that too. They focus on not sinning, what they do, rituals. They focus on rituals. That don't make you holy. The blood of Jesus is the only thing that made you righteous. But the rules and regulations of the law was designed to get you to understand that you needed Jesus. Once you have Jesus, if you walk in his kind of love, you cannot sin. If you master walking in the love of God, demonic influence will fall off your life because it'll have nothing to attach to. And if you have the love of God and you're swayed into trouble, the fear of the Lord will rise up as long as there's some love in you. People don't know that. If your heart gets too hard, the fear of the Lord won't work anymore. And you'll be like a reprobate man. Now, last week the Lord had me touching on some things, how things got out of whack. The enemy wants to shut the things of God down. He don't want you to have a relationship with God. So he set us up many ways. All right. In the Dark Ages, it became... the kings couldn't control Christians. They wanted to control the knowledge of God. They couldn't control Christians. They were so dedicated to God. Even if they killed them, they praised God and worshiped God because they had a relationship. So what they did, they married, Rome married the church. Rome, it included a lot of pagan ideals along with Christian ideals. So that, but in that, they are, the people of God always break through. There's always somebody that really loves God and they shun evil. Some people will try to go along to get along. Some people will compromise and they become tares. But those that love God, they become relentless for God. So the God had a remnant that got us out of the dark ages. And in some countries, even now, they experience a form of dark ages because it's against the law to be a Christian. They'll kill you if you're a Christian. Because Satan hates Christians and he also hates God's covenant people, the Jews. This kind of hatred comes from Satan. It's far beyond racism. It's from Satan. People don't know that. And the people that they're trying to kill is the lifeline that they have. Satan wants to extinguish what God is doing. He don't want people to have a relationship with God. So he couldn't stop them militarily. So he tried to stop them religiously and scientifically. Now I'm going to tell you something. The enemy gets away with a lot when he through fear. The fallen angels I'm talking about, they're just like a big demonic spider. And if you go after their bait, you get sucked into a trap. And every time you compromise, it's like that spider circling you with another strand of web to lock you down. And he does it through your fear. The Lord told me a long time ago, the enemy tempts people individually to fear what society thinks collectively. I'm going to say that again. He tempts tempts people, you or people as an individual, to fear what society thinks collectively. That's how he controls people. And once people get in fear, then they make laws and they make it illegal to be a Christian. They try to put restrictions, things like this. This is not just an individual problem. This is a society plague. But Satan is setting everybody up for the kill, not just the Christians, but the people that are making it illegal. See, in the dark ages, they were making it illegal to be a thriving Christian. So the enemy couldn't win militarily, so he used religious formats that didn't work. Now these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com, newlivingletters.com. Everything's free. Look up today's date for this broadcast, but all of them on the broadcast before they're on the radio. And these broadcasts are longer on newlivingletters.com. Now, he couldn't win militarily through murdering people, because people became dedicated, and those that had a relationship with God, they were dedicated, and they got the word out anyway. And the church was thriving. So he gave people deception. Formats that don't work under the guise of religion. And you can trace a lot of the doctrines of devils back to those times. Then scientifically, all right, if you had a new idea, like Columbus believed that the earth was round when society believed that it was flat, some societies would have branded him a heretic and killed him, because the scientific narrative was also controlled by the enemy through brainwashed men. But to find the truth, see, when you're a man of God or a woman of God and you love God, the Holy Spirit came to guide us into all truth. Possibly this is how Columbus realized the world was round. See, when you got a relationship with God and you pray, you know, one man was studying the Psalms. He was a boat captain. And he ran across a psalm that talked about paths in the seas. And he had been over the ocean. And he found out that there are currents that can take a ship wherever that current is going. and he found paths in the sea. How would a man know that on his own? But God knew it and revealed it to David. Now, this is the kind of logic I'm talking about. When you have a relationship with God, he can give you knowledge. And he will. He's motivated. All you have to do is want it. Now, once God give you revelation of truth, it's going to be true if it comes from God. You're going to need courage, because you can't go back to blending in with the world and how the world thinks and does things. You're going to have to learn to stand alone when nobody will believe you. Sometimes Christians won't believe you. You got to learn to stand on what God said. Even if you're sick, you got to learn to stand on the word of God and take your healing. You got to learn to stand on the word of God just like you took your salvation. You received it. I receive knowledge from God. I ask when I don't know what to do, I ask and I know he's going to answer me. And he always answers me. And it take a while. Sometimes he show it to me. Sometimes he calls somebody to say what I need. Sometimes he open my eyes to the scriptures. Sometimes he just tell me point blank. Sometimes he tell me through others. However he want to do it, that's how it's going to be done. I stop worrying about how God's part. I just do my part. I ask for what I need and he'll get the answer to me some kind of way. Now, he loves us. It's all because of his love. Now, when you're trying to believe a dead doctrine, you got to prop it up. It won't stand on its own because it's not real. All fears have no foundation. One thing that all fears have in common, there's no foundation to it. I'm talking about worldly fear. The fear of the Lord is knowledge, but the fear of from the world has no foundation. It's not real. It's not true. You can't build on top of it, but it will drive you to do everything necessary to form in your life. The thought of that fear will cause you to cripple your own life. It's just like a woman that was hurt by a boyfriend one time, and if the husband come home 10 minutes late, her mind go right to her fear. He's out with another woman. So when he walk in the door, where you been? She attack him. Over time, she's going to drive him out of her life. He could have had a flat. He could have met an old friend, and they were talking, catching up. Whatever he say, she going to ridicule it because of her fear. That fear will drive her mad. It'll drive her to frustration. And then it'll cause her to cause him to be frustrated with her, and he'll leave her life. She'll be an old lady still worried about what happened in the past. See, a lot of things that happen, people never heal. And they still think the worst. You know, I see it so many different ways. People have strife problems because of something that happened to their grandmother. And their grandmother was bitter and she talked about it. And that kind of bitterness got on her daughter. And she saw life through the eyes of her grandmother. And whatever made her bitter, then her daughter got bitter. Then her granddaughter got worse. And nobody broke it. I'm going to tell you something. If you want to come out of darkness, do it God's way. Whoever hurt you in the past, forgive them. If they're dead, forgive them anyway. Release them. And you'll stop being afraid of them. And you'll stop being terrorized by them. A person can hurt you. They can do something against your life. It can be rape. It can be theft. Whatever they did to hurt you, it could be physical abuse. Forgive that person if you love that person, if you forgive them and love them, you will stop being afraid of them, and their works will stop dominating your life, and you'll stop talking about it, and then you can concentrate on life, and God can take it from there. And don't do it in your strength. Do it in God's strength. Do it by faith. I'm telling you what works. If you never healed up from anything, the Lord will help you heal. Or you will perpetuate the strife that, That man's gone. Whoever started that strife is dead. But his works is still in your system. And every time you have a relationship, you attack based on what happened to grandma. And nobody realizes it. I know this sounds crazy, but I'm looking at it circumspectly. Well, I'm looking at it from a spectator's view. I've seen it so many ways. Even in racism, the people, when you look at those 60s films and you see them hosing folks with water hoses and sicking dogs on black people. All right, I'm going to tell you what happened. Society saw that blight. Most people hated it. They changed the law. They stopped doing that. They repented. But the people that got hurt by it are still hurt by it. The people that actually did that are dead, or they felt bad about it and they stopped doing that and they asked God to forgive them. If they did that, they went to heaven. If they stayed in their malice, they went to hell. But they're gone. All the people that did those deeds are dead and gone. And anybody that's still living, they were probably young when that happened. When these things were happening, I was a child. I'm 58. People don't live but between 70 to 110 years old. They got to be dead. You're looking from 1950 or 1960 all the way to 2021. Think about it. Just do the math. They're gone. The laws are different. The people are new. People felt bad about what they did. And there may be pockets of people that still feel that kind of matter, but not enough to do like they did. But see, the hurt continues, and people are still trying to convince the world not to be racist. I asked a man, when was the last time somebody practiced racism against you personally? He could not remember, and he's a few years older than I am. See, people are holding on to hurt. If you don't release it like Jesus said do, if you don't forgive their sins against your past, against your life, I don't care what it is. Forgive them in faith, sincerely, and then you will heal. I know what I'm talking about. I practiced it. When I first got saved, I saw what Jesus wrote. If you don't forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. And I need God to forgive me. I don't need him to remember my old sins. I wouldn't make heaven if I did. And people that die in unforgiveness don't go to heaven. Don't listen to preachers that tell you if you're going to heaven and you're all right, you washed in, people always say, I'm washed in blood. Did you forgive everybody? Well, they didn't ask me to. Okay. You're not going to heaven then. If you hold our sins, what make you think God's going to forgive you of yours? Jesus told the truth on that. You cannot, nobody ever went to heaven with unforgiveness in their heart. They got to get that out first. Or you will not go to heaven, period. Even if you are washed in the blood. Because you're holding somebody else's sin and you've been forgiven of everything. You ever did something and felt bad about it? You wish you didn't do it? You wish you could go back in time and not do that? Well, people who did people wrong feel the same way. They're people. You know, when Kamala Harris was running against Biden, she talked about how he practiced racism against her with one of his policies. But guess what? When people do things and they know it's wrong, sometimes I can't tell you what state of mind or heart he has. I don't judge people like that. But I hope the best for him. Because I love everybody. Not just, I was for Trump. I love Trump. But I love Biden as a person. I really wanted Trump to be president. But now Biden's considered the president. So, I don't hate him. But he did, if he had so much animosity against black people, why in the world did he ask Kamala Harris to be his vice president? See, people change. I believe that the best, I like to believe the best things to people, you know, people can be deceived, they can do a lot of dumb stuff, But that don't mean that they love everything that's wrong. Sometimes people do it out of deception, sometimes out of cultural fears. But he didn't have to ask her. He could have picked somebody else. But he picked her. See, if you hold people to their past, you don't know what God's been doing in their life. And people that love to judge others and retain their sin, that's dangerous. That's dangerous for Christians to do. Yeah, but people will say, well, he still does this. He still has. Okay, I get that. But that don't mean that he didn't change in his heart against his views on racial problems. I don't believe in holding people. Sometimes I've done things that I hated. I just used him as an example. I love him as a person. I want him to be successful. He is over the country right now. I want his policies to work. I want him to make the best decision. It involves me. It involves my family, my children. I don't want any president to fail. I pray for all of them. But I want people I want a man in there that will do it God's way. But sometimes God has to work through people that won't do it his way. But if you pray, you involve God, and God can cause things to happen. You're not dead. We're still here. No, the country's not blown to pieces yet. We still have something to work with. And we need to be praying for our country. And the Lord told me that about the war that's coming. I rebuked it. He told me so I could rebuke it. We have to stand. We have to pray. We have to involve God so he can do something. We can't sit on the sideline and complain. If you do that, you might get exploded. But if you do it God's way, Jesus said, pray for, Paul wrote to us about the Holy Ghost. He said, pray for your leaders, that you may live a peaceable life. A lot of our Christians and brothers died because their countries went rogue, because nobody was praying, and the devil went wild in it. And that doesn't need to happen. I'm telling you, we're dealing with a situation where people, this is an evil that you don't understand. You can't comprehend how evil Satan and his horde of fallen angels and demons and wicked men can be. But men are deceived. They're baited. Men are always baited into something. They think it's going to be one way. They're going to hell. They don't know it. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue to mighty.